I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Do not speak harshly to older men, but speak to them as to a father, to younger men as brothers, to older women as mothers, to younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word.
Lisa, thank you very much for that reading. You know, each one of us goes through stages in life. We're born, we go through childhood, we're adolescents, adults, and finally we make it to senior citizen level. Now, the message I have for you today is for young and for old, and it's a message that will help you no matter what stage of life you're in. Look around you today here in Central Christian. Central Christian Church is growing older. So we need to talk about growing older gracefully. I'm a senior citizen, finally made it. Be hot dog. There's good days and there's bad. And you've probably heard all the one-liners about how you can tell when you're a senior citizen. Well, it's when you finally found your way around, but you just don't feel like going. Or when you bend down to tie your shoes, you ask yourself, man, is there anything else I can do while I'm down here? So we're all getting older. And naturally, we'd like to grow older gracefully. And that's the subject of my lesson today, growing older gracefully. We all know people who, despite their aches, their pains, and their other infirmities or burdens, they nevertheless are growing older with grace and dignity. So it can be done. And there are some established guidelines for doing that. Guidelines that are biblically based. I want to talk to you about some of those today. First, be sure you're right with God. Proverbs tells us, the hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now that means, first, be sure that you have repented your sins, and by faith have committed yourself to follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Him. And that's also the only way for you to experience all the God-given potential in your life. Now, the words in that passage, in the way of righteousness, that means another thing. We should begin each day reaffirming our allegiance to Christ. Now, I know that some of you have had things happen to you in the past that opened your eyes up to just how short life is. I start my day with a prayer, thanking the Lord, thanking Him for one more day to do His work. You might try starting your day with something like, Lord, please guide me today in what I say, what I do, and even how I think. That's essentially the point that Jesus was making when he told us in Matthew, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added to you." Of course, all of us can't do the same things, but we can all do something. Something productive in the service of the Lord. We are to be faithful, not just until we're tired, or in many of our cases, retired, but we're to be faithful until our going or his coming, and both of those will happen. Another thing the Bible tells us is to radiate a positive attitude. In Psalms, it tells us, "Blessed is the man that walks not with the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, and not seating in the seat of the scornful." I got to think about that. What does that mean, in the seat, to sit in the seat of the scornful? Well, it means to not be hypercritical, overly negative, always looking at the dark side and looking for the cracks and the crevices. That's something we as Christians have to avoid. We have to avoid that at all costs. The Lord knows we hear enough discouraging words in this world today. What we need is optimism and encouragement. And you and I need to radiate that kind of spirit if we're going to grow gracefully. The Bible also tells us to maintain a sense of humor. In Proverbs 17:22, it says, "A merry heart does good like a medicine." And you know the wonderful part about that medicine? There's no side effects. It helps in every department and status of life to have a sense of humor. I'm reminded of something I read once about an elderly man who had been courting an elderly woman for quite some time. And one evening they were sitting together on her couch in her living room, and he got off the couch and down onto his knee. And he said, "I have two questions. First, will you marry me?" And she said, "Yes." "What's the second question?" "Will you help me get up?" Now, some of you younger people may not understand that. I do. Another thing we need to do to grow gracefully is to keep up contacts with other people. John Donne, a 17th century writer, said, "No man is an island unto himself." Now, if we don't maintain contact with and interest in other people, we're liable to become self-centered. And that is a tragedy. Someone once said that a man wrapped up in himself is a pretty small package. And I might add, a fairly miserable one too. The Bible also tells us, take care of your physical health. Now, health conditions can vary a lot from one person to another. For some people, for reasons beyond their control, they have what we call fragile health. But God gives special grace for such conditions if those concerned call on Him. I know individuals, and I'm sure you do, that have severe physical handicaps, problems, and limitations. But they live so close to God on a daily basis that they are a blessing and an inspiration to all of us who know him. God doesn't hold us responsible for what we don't have, but taking proper care of whatever health potential we do have is a sacred trust. And the Bible has something to say about that in 1 Corinthians. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, glorifying God with the body obviously involves doing the very best we can to take care of whatever measure of health that we have by eating properly and taking whatever exercise we're capable of. And in my case, it means trying to quit smoking. Lord God, it's hard, but I'd sure like to. The Bible also tells us to always have a thankful attitude. In Thessalonians 5, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you." So we're to be thankful not for those rare once-in-a-lifetime blue moon blessings, but we're also to be thankful for everyday things, blessings that we tend to take for granted because we got used to them. We need to thank him for the beautiful sunset. We need to thank him for the wonders of nature. Emerson once said, "You know, if the stars only came out one night a year, we would all stay up to see them. But since they come out every night, we're used to them." When was the last time you looked up at the stars? Most of us live in the city, got a lot of lights, kind of hard to see them anyway. But if you got up this morning and you had a roof over your head, you had food to eat, clothes to wear, and some money you fill out in your pocket, in the eyes of 75% of the world's population, you are wealthy. There are many last night in this world that are not with us today because they died of things that could have been cured. So we're fortunate. We are fortunate. Stop and think about it. Now, God expects us to be grateful. And we're to thank him not only for the pleasant things of life, but also for life's reverses, disappointments, and sorrows. The words say, "In everything, give thanks." That doesn't mean, of course, that everything that happens is a cause for gratitude. But it does mean that along with every experience, however tragic, painful, and heartbreaking, causes for gratitude can be found if we'll only look for them. You know, a lot of the songs that we heard this morning were written by Fannie J. Crosby. As a matter of fact, almost any hymn book, Christian hymn book that you pick up, will have probably a lot of songs by Fannie. Fannie died in 2019, just short of her 95th birthday. But she has been called the greatest hymn writer in the history of the Christian religion. Although she was blind, She was a prolific writer. And during her lifetime, over 8,000 of her poems were set to music. And over 100 copies were printed. Hymns that she wrote include, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me," "Blessed Assurance," "Though Your Sins Be as Scarlet," "To God Be the Glory," and that's just to mention a few. She was an inspiration to millions and widely sought after as a speaker and a counselor. But you need to know something about Fanny. When she was only 6 weeks old, she was permanently blinded. Her mother began to prepare her for a productive life, despite the handicap. But that wasn't all. When she was 12 months old, her father died. Later, Fanny held no animosity or bitterness. She determined to have a positive outlook. At 8 years of age, she wrote this, her very first poem. "Oh, what a happy soul I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." At 8 years old. 8 years old. Now that was a positive attitude. And Fanny was and remains a living testimony to the fact that being thankful is not a matter of one's circumstances, but rather of one's decisions. She made up her mind to count her blessings and not her liabilities. So as we go through life's joys and tribulations, let's remember to thank God for all he's done for us. And let's try to be more like Fanny and live our lives to the fullest. I want to close the message today with some very short thoughts. Life is short. Love God. Love who you are. Love what you do. And make every day count. Pray with me, please. Our dearest Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all the gifts that you've given us and continue to give us. Lord, I know that we are frail and we don't recognize many of the things that you do for us, and certainly we don't fully appreciate it. We ask you to help us, to lead us, to do what's right in your eyes. Be with us always and lead us home to heaven. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.